Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, covering car culture and the automotive world with Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and Steve, the producer, Johan. Let's see what's up this week.
What is up this week? November 27th, it's the episode of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust you've been waiting for. I am Brady Wright, professional radio face, and Rat Rod, the attempted builder with Master Mechanic, and Brat Rod. No, I did not.
Like
say
a bratwurst?
I did not bratwurst. Say bratwurst. I'm a
sure?
perfectly,
Brat Rod.
Perfectly comfortable Brat individual.
I think that's a new term.
There you go, Brat Rod.
Brat Rods.
I like it.
We
all sit around and eat brats. Or is that
brats? Yes.
Close enough.
After
so, wise guy in the corner is Metal Butcher Shane Osborne, and of course, Steve, the producer, Johan, a guy with a serious desire to recreate the final shootout from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly using Nerf guns. back to the blacktop is first, and we're going to check out some stuff happening in the automotive world. What do you got, sirs?
Well, a little bit of an update for the Mitsubishi Motors former CEO, which was voted unanimously, the Renault-Nissan Alliance voted unanimously to drop Carlos Ghosn as its chairman Monday, just a week after the executive's arrest on suspicion of financial misdealing. So
we kind of knew that was coming.
But one more down.
How long have you been working here, not counting today?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, he joined in 2016, and then all of a sudden here, 2018, he's gone. Yeah.
Here's your hat. What's your hurry?
Jeez. I don't know if you guys seen, have you ever heard of the company called Rivian?
R-I-V-I-A-N.
A battery-operated, brand new, out-of-the-chute company. And they've been around for a little while, not making a lot of noise, but they just, at the LA car show, they rolled out their R1T battery-powered pickup truck. And they're soon going to be rolling out their SUV, capable of forging streams and climbing mountain trails, as well as 400 miles per charge on the highway. So that's really good.
It's fascinating that people are doing this. Certainly, I mean, eventually battery technology will be the thing. However, the key to all of it, in my humble opinion, is how long does it take you to recharge?
Well, it is. That's going to be right.
Because that's the trick. I see the guys with the Teslas. There's a charging sort of park not too far from my house. And they're up there for an hour, you know, two sometimes,
right,
just recharging those things. And it's great. You know, you got an $85,000 car that you have to take a lunch hour every day to drive. And it's like, they're getting there.
Well, they are. And if you're just actually doing a trip to work, you could just trip to work, plug it in, trip home, and it'd stay charged, I think. It's when
probably
you go for long drives, you're going to have to be able to park it.
Yeah.
And speaking of electrification, we talked about the futuristic microbus called the IDZ or ID Buzz, which is Volkswagen's version of their delivery.
And is it red?
No, it's kind of a bluish,
white
and blue.
It's not a red VW microbus.
It's kind of a cool, it's a retro looking thing. Have you seen that truck?
Yeah, I've seen the concept of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool looking.
And
I
think
it has that 60s feel to it.
It does. And I think they want to bring it into actual, not only for commercial use, but maybe bringing it into standard use by anybody who can buy it. So that'd be kind of cool. I think it's a nice looking thing. And then we want to bring you some updates from GM. Not really good updates. Last week we talked about laying off some white collar workers. Well, as part of their ongoing shift from sedans and coupes to SUVs and CUVs, they have decided to, shut down three North American plants. Idle 5,600 workers. I guess that means layoff. They are also
We're idling you. That means I don't work, so that's kind of a layoff.
The death list is as follows: the Chevy Volt, the Impala, the Cruze, as well as the Buick LaCrosse, the Cadillac CT6, and XTS. They're all going away.
That's a lot of cars.
It is.
We knew about the XTS and the CT6. They were slated for a while, but.
And
the
as
Impala,
part of this,
that's a,
yeah, the Impala.
That's a harsh one.
God, it is. And as part of this, they have moved up to Canada in their Ontario plant, laying off another 2,500 employees as part of shutting down their factories up there.
I got to say, I think this is what happens when you let the government, you know, get their hands into it.
Yeah.
You know, the bailout was not a good thing for GM.
And part of the whole thing, too, is they're recalling, it looks like they may be recalling 2.7 million full-size pickups and sport utility vehicles due to a brake vacuum pump that may break down, requiring the driver to employ increased braking effort, resulting in longer stopping distance, according to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
And blood-curdling screams
from behind the wheel.
Do you remember back in our day where we just adjusted the way we drove to these little bitty problems?
Oh, I know.
And don't follow so close.
And to top things off, we got to be reminded that Trump was saying, just stay put, everybody. Everything's going to be okay. Well, that's a little oversimplified.
It may very well be okay, but there's going to be some pain in the interim. I got a feeling.
It does. And
always chaos.
And to kind of give you a look into other companies' issues, Tesla China sales dropped 70% in China.
You slipped it in.
I see.
And CEO Elon Musk.
Tesla.
Stated the company had almost been close to shutting down in the summer.
It's Tesla.
Yeah, it's the big T. We don't want to use that word. It's like a cuss word around here.
No, it's just fine. We can talk. We can say the word.
Did you hear that Tesla was trying to make tequila?
Yes, I told you.
Yeah.
Tesla-quila.
Tesla-quila, yeah. And they got sued over it.
They got sued?
Yeah.
I didn't hear that.
You can't use tequila. It's actually...
Tequila, because it's a trade name. Yeah.
Yep.
Muscatel. Is that trade name, too?
I don't know.
Because isn't that another...
that's the name of the grape.
Yeah.
That's the type of grape.
Okay, isn't there another type of tequila? It's agave.
Agave is the plant that they make it from.
Yes, and...
And the mezcal cactus is what they make mezcal from.
Well, that's what I was thinking, a mezcal.
Well, it's not the same. It's not the same drink.
Oh, it's a different. It's not tequila.
Tequila's made from an agave cactus.
Yeah.
And mezcal is made out of mezcal cactus.
Yep. Different plant.
Oh. So.
That's why. Well, never mind. It's a whole other.
Not to be confused with mescaline.
It's the same whole chemical culture.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. It's just a different distillation.
All different cactuses.
Yeah. I'm seeing visions.
That's why.
Maybe that's what Elon was using.
I've heard.
When he came across Tesla.
I have no personal experience with this at all.
Tesla-quila.
This is just a class I took in college that lasted 3.5 weeks, one weekend.
Oh, we got taught some of that in high school in our health education. They gave us a whole guide of all these drugs, and I went, ooh, look at all these things.
Yeah. All these pretty mushrooms.
You watched a film. I was in the film. Give me a break.
You were in the film. Was that when you had your chopper?
Never mind.
Was that your chopper? Chopper days?
Well, I had three choppers over the years.
Well, you had a really nice picture of you on a... Next to a chopper, I think it was built in the 70s.
Yeah, I built that one in 70 and 71. I bought that from the Seattle Police Department.
Yeah.
It was a cop bike with the saddlebags and the windshield and everything. And I knew when I bought it that I was not going to keep it stock, so I brought it home. I rode it around the block twice, and then I pulled it into the garage, and I pulled everything off of it. I chopped up the frame and made it a hardtail, which people laughed at me at the time. You have perfectly good suspension on this thing. Why are you welding a hardtail? Because I wanted to.
Yes.
Yeah.
And besides, it's a chopper.
It's cool.
Well, I rake the neck an inch and a quarter, and I extended the front end all this distance and everything. And we did that without a single measuring device.
Oh, yeah, it looks good.
Did you get a lot of wheel flop and hop and all that?
No, that was the
period. Wow.
I wish I could say I planned it. I actually looked at a lot of magazines and saw how to do it. Took a steel bar, stuck it in the neck, heated the thing up big time, made a couple of cuts top and bottom so that there wasn't much material there, bent it, pulled it out forward, and bent it down to where I thought it looked good.
Right.
Yep.
And then a couple of guys sat on the frame and we torqued it until it was more or less straight, eyeball straight.
Right.
And then we gusseted the living heck out of the neck so that it wasn't going to move, welded all that stuff on there. And then put it together, and I never tested it or anything until it was actually done. So I finally, after all the stuff, then I rode it. And it tracked like it was on rails.
Well,
I rode that bike 141 miles an hour.
You were thinking...
Wow. Well, it's a whole other story.
We were talking before the show about your rat rod and you working on brackets, and I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Brady, you have all the experience in the world already.
So believe me, I have done it wrong so many times.
I've eliminated
most of my mess ups. Now I'm down to just a couple.
You see my cabinets. It took me twice as long because I had to fix things.
But see, that is the essence of hot rodding. Do it wrong first.
Or woodworking.
Yeah, it's all the same. Do it wrong first.
Gotta learn from your mistakes.
Yep. Hey, glad to have you with us. We got a trivia question coming up today, and we're going to have a conversation with the host of a slick new podcast called California Car Culture. All that and more on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, car enthusiast, are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E-Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E-Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest-growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame-off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand-done metalwork, motor work, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E-Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
Welcome back to the Star Second.
It is our second.
Yes, the second segment of the Horsepower Chrome and Rust. It's time for the windshield view.
Yeah.
And tonight we're going to have some chat.
Well, we got a guest maybe, but we are not sure.
We're waiting for him to call in, we got a couple other things that are happening. One of the things actually is one of our previous guests, Jeremy Clayton, was up here from Bobo's Customs.
Yes.
And I talked with Jeremy earlier tonight and yesterday, and it turns out that Bobo's is going to be under new management. Now, they're a local Seattle body and custom shop and sales organization, like I said, in Seattle, north end of Seattle. And they're going to get rebranded as CJ's Custom Paint and Body pretty quick, and they're going to do, you know, the custom paint and stuff that they were doing, light repairs and things like that. So they'll be on Facebook, CJ's Custom Paint and Body, and if you were a fan of Bobo's, Jeremy is still there along with the rest of the crew. Just got a new owner.
Yep.
So it's kind of cool. Things happen like that in the hot rod business, you know?
Yeah.
It's all the time. Shane
new
knows.
Owner.
Yeah. Shane, in fact, up at your place, you basically it's you and Elton and one guy. You need some guys now, don't you?
Yeah, we
This is a public service, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, we hopefully have everyone coming back in the first of the year.
Yeah, E-Company Customs.
Yes.
Premier custom car builder in the Northwest is in need of some high-end techs.
Yes, if you are a fabrication guy, I know you've got a couple guys
body,
up there.
Poster guy would be great.
Poster? You need a painter?
No, we got a painter.
Yeah. You said upholstery?
Yeah.
Oh, upholstery. I thought you said a poster guy.
No, an upholstery guy.
Poster. I was like, a poster? I could do posters for you.
There you go.
We need someone to do interiors.
Oh, yes.
Elton's
getting tired of doing that, isn't he?
Well, he's overwhelmed.
He's good at what he does, and he's an ex.
He's a one-man show, though.
He's a perfectionist. And, you know, that's the way I am when I build stuff. And we were commenting about building cabinets and stuff, but it took me a lot longer to build my cabinets because even though I made mistakes as a perfectionist, I got to go back and fix everything.
Oh, yeah.
And people say, you'll never notice that. I go, I notice it.
Uh-huh. Elton,
and then,
that's right.
I noticed,
Elton's the same way. I got patterns and pieces
of seats
all over the place.
See, I actually put two tanks on one of my bikes
because
of that.
Yes.
I had one gas tank. Harley chopper I built years and years ago, and I had molded it into the frame. This is when that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
I molded it, but I wanted it removable, so I had one bolt at the back end of the tank. You slid it in with a couple of forks up at the front.
Right.
tighten them up on the side, and then the one bolt in the back, and that was how you got the thing on and off.
Right.
And I molded everything in so you could barely see it. But I didn't do as great a job as I wanted to. So every time I looked at it sitting on the bike, looked down right in between, you know, there's this back bolt, and it looked cruddy. And I was irritated about it for about 6 months. I finally went out and bought another tank and put it on it. And redid it, you know. So then I had two tanks when I sold the bike. Why do you have two tanks? It's a spare. That was it. It's a spare.
Did you have them both on at the same time?
No. Oh, I wasn't quite that far ahead of myself.
And you didn't fabricate your own tank, though.
No, I modified. I modified it. I'm not.
Because you've seen those guys, they'll make a half tank.
Oh, bare metal,
and then
just
make another half tank, and then they'll weld them together and grind it all down. Yeah. And you guys could do that at your shop
We do.
Oh, I'm sure you could. Yeah, yeah.
We build tanks.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't have any way to pressure test it. I mean, I'm not saying I couldn't have welded one together, but then I would have had to take it
someplace.
Well,
then you have to shape it, too. Yeah, you have the shaping tools to do that?
I was building the coffin tank, so it was all square panels.
Oh, yes, the coffin tank.
Back in the day, yeah. Shane knows.
And I think those came about because people didn't have a shaping wheel.
I don't have a shaping wheel, but I got a brake.
I have a brake. I have a file and a metal.
Let's make that.
Skill saw.
That would be the way I would make it because I'm like, I can make square angles. I can make angles.
That's it.
If I can make a wood box, I can make a metal box.
You build one, though.
It's actually easier to shape.
It's all trapezoids. There's not a square piece. It's like, dang, man, this is way more work than.
Yeah.
What happens if it's not symmetrical? Ooh, that'll be cool. Yeah, then
I can bring
explain.
A gas tank out in about 2 hours.
Yeah, well, you can. Where were you when I needed you?
English will, but yeah, you can start building coffin tanks.
Well, symmetry. I was thinking, yeah, semetics.
This is my friend Symmetry.
Symmetry.
Symmetry from Russia.
Oh, yes. So symmetry is everything to motorcycling and cars.
Oh, yeah.
When you are customizing anything, you want to make sure that when you're looking at it, it looks good on both sides of the car. You look at the center of the bike or the motor or the car; it's got a wrap. So when you look at the original designers of any car, as a matter of fact, I'm reading this great book, 50th Anniversary of Hot Wheels. We're going to have them on in a couple
that's
weeks.
That's right. That's right.
And I'm just
and Christmas is coming.
Yes, it is. and this is a good time as any.
Sure,
folks. I want you, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a Hot Wheel, two or three favorite Hot Wheels, even from the very, very beginning days the recent days, please take some pictures of your Hot Wheels.
Yes.
And submit, throw them up on our Facebook. Put your name.
Don't throw up on our Facebook.
Okay.
Throw them up. I'm sorry.
Throw them
saying.
Up on our Facebook. add them to share them on our Facebook page.
Yes.
Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And then say a little thing about it. What makes this car so special? When did you get that?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to be doing that with mine as a precursor to the book. As a matter of fact, I'm going to send them off to the author, and he's going to tell me about some of them.
Absolutely.
But I've got some of the Sweet 16, some of the original ones that rolled off.
Do you have the Barbie Hot Wheel?
No, I don't.
Come on. You know you do.
I didn't even know they had a Barbie Hot Wheel.
I don't know if they did either. I just wanted to ask.
But I'm looking at this book
they
and I'm going,
did.
I've got this, I've got that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then I pulled out my collection. I went, well, why does the bottom look different and this one looks a little different? So he'll be able to explain.
Yeah.
Because they changed, they went from American factory to Japanese factory, you know, all these different factories.
And didn't they reissue some of those things too? I mean,
well, now that's the problem.
Cars that came
all
two
the
or three
ones,
generations worth of the car?
They did.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
originals have the red wheels, the red
there you
lines.
Go. So that was it?
Anything after that is all reissues.
Hot Wheels.
Or
okay,
new.
I get it. Okay.
But and then the whole idea of Hot Wheels, they were going to originally call it California Customs.
Okay.
And they thought, well, that's too long for packaging.
Oh, well, there you go.
And they said, that's some pretty Hot Wheels out there in the front with one of the main designers and said, that's the name.
That's it.
So then they did some really wonderful packaging because I was into, you know, Corgi cars, a Matchbox back in the day.
I'd forgotten.
And you look at those.
I'm not that old, really.
They came in boxes.
Yeah.
Well, the Matchbox did the first blister pack for toys.
Yeah, Matchbox,
they
were cool. See, I had more Matchbox cars than I had Hot Wheels. I don't know why. Just those
I
were
had
the ones,
Matchbox, too.
Yeah, those were the ones that spoke to me. It's like, oh, okay, I get this. Maybe it was just because there was a little smaller and you could have
well,
more
Well, they
of
were
them.
Actually the same size, but they came in different
They're
styles.
More realistic.
More realistic.
Seemed like it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that the more Hot details. Wheels for racing, and I got, oh, man, I went out and I bought the track.
Although, in fairness, the Matchbox may have been more realistic, but the Hot Wheels had the tribute ones. They had the Ed Roth cars. They had the George Barris cars.
Did.
They had the Batmobile
the
and stuff like
carts.
That. Yeah, like that's cool stuff.
You know? Yep, the paddy wagon. I got the paddy wagon. Yeah,
they advertised in Mad Magazine.
Yes, they did.
They did.
Yes, they did.
And it was it's amazing.
God, are we old?
my buddies. I was at my 40th high school reunion, and my buddy at Tori and I were at high school reunion, and it's 40 years since we graduated, and we started talking about, remember when we were playing Hot Wheels? We went to each other's house.
Well, that was last night.
And I'm like,
Fuck cars now.
He's like, remember we did it from down our, we at the top of your stairs. There were two stories.
Right.
We went down around the corner and down the other side. And he goes, do you remember when we did the one outside? And I went, yes. Two-story house. He opens up the window to his bedroom, and we got this suit. We added all the track, and we went all the way down to the first story into the backyard with the track. And we were launching our cars off this thing.
That's cool.
And it was like the things you did with your cars. You actually played with them and had fun.
We actually went down.
Wore the paint right off them.
Used to be able to go to Sears.
Oh, yeah. I've got some that are just totally worn off.
Back in the day, you could go to Sears and you could buy gutter, aluminum gutter.
Yes.
And so we actually made tunnels, you know, and out of 6-8 foot lengths of gutter.
Right.
And it was only corrugated lengthwise. It wasn't, you know, sideways. So you could, they were tunnels. They were, you know.
Flat bottom.
Yeah.
Well, everybody built their own stuff. You took the track.
Well, yeah,
and then
who could afford to buy the whole?
That's
what you hope for.
Yeah.
Someday I'll get the loop.
Yes.
That was cool.
So, folks, if you've got Hot Wheels please take pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Upload them.
That would be the best, yeah.
We'll stay right here for more Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, and more Hot Wheel talk, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, how would you like to have a chance to win a fully restored, four-on-the-floor, red 1965 Mustang? Well, you can. Linwood Rotary is raffling off this fully restored 65 Mustang at a car show near you. Chance to win this car is just $10 per raffle ticket. For more information and to find out where the car will be displayed, visit rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. Proceeds will go into funding local charities.
Attention men, under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. There goes let's grab dinner and a movie. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, good evening, officer. A woman admires that kind of foresight. And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Because nothing says, I'm a catch, more than a guy who lives in his parents' basement and calls it my place.
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
More Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust after these messages.
Looking for a job worth talking about? Teaching is creative, collaborative, and intellectually challenging. See why teachers have better work stories at teachdfw.org and learn more about becoming a teacher.
1 in 7 Americans will struggle with addiction during their lifetime. Want to know how you can help? Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to help turn addiction around.
Hello, this is Zach with Cascade Campers. You're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
City. Yes, we are talking about vehicles on the Horsepower, Chrome, and Rush show. And vehicles come in all sizes and packages, from customs to brand new electrics to automated to, you know, ancient
toys.
Ones from
toys.
Back. But toys.
Rust,
toys
you
have
know what
to
I
be
saw?
On the...
I got to tell you this. Speaking of toys,
yeah.
I saw on Facebook, in fact, I was gonna share it. I will put it on the page. I saw somebody found a 1951 Studebaker pedal car.
Oh.
Very rare. Weren't yes. very many of those out there. And it was in pretty good shape. I mean, everything was there. It was a little rusty, you know, but it right. was like a 51 Stute, you know, with the bullet nose and the whole right. 9 yards. You do not see those.
Pedal cars.
A pedal car, yeah. Pedal
cars awesome. One of my neighbors had one of those.
Yeah.
We had wagons. We had
a fire truck.
I have a couple of
pedal cars. Remember the little fire truck with the little ladder on the side, the two-step yep. ladder? That's why I had the fire truck.
We
that
had,
was cool.
I have a picture of the neighbors. What we do is we get the bicycle, and you attached one of the wagons, the handle, to the bike.
You mean a little red wagon? Is that what you're
Yeah, a little
about?
Red
oh, okay,
wagon,
okay.
Right. or brown wagon, or whatever color wagon yeah. it was. And we have a picture of all of us kids. There was, I think Randy was in the front. He was on his bike, and he was towing
11 guys
about four or five wagons, the yeah. girls and the boys and everything. And it was like, that's what we did as
Randy
kids.
Randy had giant legs as a kid. I'm totally, come on, Randy, faster.
And then we took we even took it into the parade in Ferndale. It was like the kiddie parade. So, I mean, it was cool.
It was uphill for 3.5 Randy. Miles, and Randy's having a heart attack. Come on, Randy.
But it was like, that's what you did. You spent a lot of time outside.
Well, and, you know, you kind of created your toys.
Mom locked the door after I left.
Yeah, yeah. Don't come back until dinner time. Yeah. Get out. Yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And that was, of course, that was also the thing. You could.
You know, could.
You got up on Saturday morning, you slammed down a bowl of oatmeal or whatever it was you were having. Raisin,
watch cartoons.
Raisin bread
and once
toast,
cartoons
yeah.
were
and then
done,
you're
you were
out
the
you're
door.
Out. Get out. So, because yeah. my mother didn't want us around because she was cleaning the house. She, seriously, I mean,
oh,
like,
on
I,
Saturdays,
I,
yes,
oh, yeah, I'm
yes.
vacuuming, I'm doing
yep,
this stuff.
Yep.
Get out. So, I'm fine. I will leave. Go, so, we would go. Yeah, 30 miles away on our bicycles.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody knew where we
oh, yeah.
were, you know,
yeah.
hanging around off. With the Hells Angels. Who knew what we were doing?
Yeah, exactly.
And then we'd come back about dinner time. Or what was the universal signal for kids to come home?
Whistle.
Yep.
Nope.
My parents used the whistle.
No. Everybody what? Knows it. When the street lights come on.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
you
okay.
better
before
be
yeah.
yep. You better
yep.
be home before.
Yep.
That was it.
Yep.
And, oh, yeah.
But
the whistle was too.
My parents went, I'm like, I mean, yep. playing, it was amazing.
Yeah.
I could be
you
playing
anywhere,
anywhere in the neighborhood.
Yeah. Like,
blocks away.
Dog whistle.
Oh, I hear a whistle. Wait. Gotta go.
Dad's going.
See Dad's going. I thought I was the only one whose parents.
No, everybody
did that.
No.
Sometimes he would shout, and I was like, no, the whistle worked better. Yep. But I could hear him if he shouted. He's asked my voice. And, but, you know, as a kid, we were. Our backyard was abutted to this hayfield, literally rolling hayfield, and
oh, right.
beyond that
yeah.
was the woods, and up above it was the trails. And
never found any of those bodies yet?
No, but we found, we had a stream that went through the woods, and
yeah.
there was this old bridge, and then there was this old, my buddies and I discovered this old trough. It was like a cement trough against this bank. And it was dripping into it. I mean, like, what is this doing in the middle of, there's nothing else around. And what you realized is probably back in the 20s and earlier, there was people that had lived in that area, and they logged it all off, and then they let it grow up again. It was like second growth timber, this stuff was. And we just had adventures, and we built tree forts. And I was, I got the nickname Monkey because I was the best clean tree climber in the neighborhood. I would go to the top, and we would be notching on the thin little part of the tree, and I would go above, and I would notch mine. It was
somehow,
like, oh,
I'm
that
not,
Johan.
I'm not surprised at all. That's absolutely
And you'd be
perfect.
Swinging in
yeah.
the,
oh, yeah.
and I'd be seeing miles in the distance in the valley because I'd be so high. My parents didn't have a clue what we were doing.
See, in the country, you could
fall.
Do stuff like that. Well, yeah.
No, that would have been that was over 100 feet. I was
you
in
could,
the air.
Yeah,
there.
And people did that. Now, I grew up in the city. Although I like to say, both
you played
of my,
on bridges, though, didn't you?
Well, yeah, under bridges, actually.
Under bridges.
But see, now, both of my folks were from rural Montana. And so I grew up in Seattle. I was raised in the city. But what I like to say is I grew up in Seattle, but I was raised in Montana.
Right.
Not because I spent that much time there, but because that's where my folks, you know, were from. And that's how they raised me. So I got a lot of country in me. I got a lot of hillbilly in me. We went back enough that, you know, climbing trees was a thing.
Yep.
Throwing people in the sticker bushes just for fun. That was
yep,
a thing.
Yep.
Now that would be abuse.
Yes.
But what we used to do, instead of climbing up 100, you know, 100 foot in the tree and notching the tree, we would do stuff. City kids did stuff like, we're stealing the motor off the lawnmower and we're putting it on our go-kart.
Yes.
Now,
yeah.
Dad made the mistake of showing me how to do that once. He had no idea how many times I did it when he left. He would go someplace like, I'm going to be gone. I'm going to go to the hardware store. Well, that was his version of getting out of Dodge for a while. And so he would go to the hardware store. And along about 1 o'clock
in the afternoon. That still works, by the way.
Yeah. He would come back and say, well, I guess I'll mow the lawn. Where's the motor?
Oh.
And I would be off some way, you know, with this thing. And I would come back and he'd say, "How you took the motor off again. Well, it's back on. You can't tell. Oh, no, I can tell because it's not the same as it was. But that's the stuff we did. We'd build a bike out of spare parts.
Was that the actual upright, the Briggs & Stratton motor?
Briggs & Stratton, single cylinder.
Yeah, because my buddies, we had one up the neighborhood had one of those. And
pulleys.
Then my other friend had a go-kart.
Yeah.
And we just had, the power was... It was just right off the lawnmower. You pull it and let it back in.
Yeah, it was a centrifugal clutch.
Yeah. Oh,
and you just had it. Basically,
was a blast
riding
that thing.
We had one clutch on
around.
A little rotator thing, and you pulled it down, and the pulley got up, and, you know.
Yeah.
It was the simplest possible thing.
Yep.
We could not wait. We could not wait to get an actual car.
Yeah.
You
know,
because you do stuff like that. I mean, you're already there in your mind.
I'm
right now.
12 years old, okay.
Yeah, I got this.
Steering
with ropes.
My buddy
rope
would...
Rope steering.
Oh,
remember that? You could kill yourself with rope steering because you had one center holding the axle and it would zip it.
Well, I had just the two leg where it was the go-kart with just the wood thing. And
we did
and
that
just,
with the 2x4 up there.
Yes,
right?
And you'd go down the hill and then you go like... You have some kind of like a braking system. It's a bolt. Drag the stick kind of thing.
Yeah.
And
throw a rake.
You knew it was too late to save you when the stick was on fire. Like, I'm not going to stop. The stick is now
worn
down.
You just run it into somebody's yard or into the bushes.
Hit the bushes.
Hit a hedge. Yeah. That's.
Oh, see, I drove mine underneath a chain link fence.
Ah, perfect.
Oh.
Wearing shorts and no shirt.
That's right, you did.
Yes.
Now,
you
that
could
stuff
have been
happened
six,
when
six
we,
if it wasn't for that.
When we would do sledding.
Yeah.
Oh, shunk. That wasn't supposed to be where you're supposed to go. Somebody nailed a car one time. I watched him go under. Oh, man.
Yeah, that was after that. That was Bob the Weird Kid because he head planted right into the side of the. Sorry, Bob.
I tussled with barbed wire fences more than once I got hung up on a barbed wire fence.
But see, that doing that, see, kids don't get.
I still got scars.
They aren't raised. They aren't raised that way anymore. Now there's helmets and pads and everything, and it's you don't want them to get hurt. I personally think I'm going to say this now. I think that kids need to be injured. I think they need to be. need to face death more often as a younger people, so that they understand that you can't always survive this. You need a little bit of reality in your life, because otherwise,
you know what real pain is.
Yeah, participation trophies do not get it. You need actually
my
injury.
Kids got into the airsoft, so they started learning airsoft, and they had a lot of fun doing that.
Yeah,
started
out
with Nerf guns,
Then
graduated to the airsoft, and they're out in the play area. We got a kind of a free zone.
Hell, we started out with just shot at
we need BB guns. Sure.
Well,
pellets.
We don't need those stinking airsoft.
Dirt bomb fights.
Rock fights.
Until somebody gets hit in the side of the head.
Then
it's like time to stop. God,
that made a dent in the metal sign. I wonder what that'd feel like if I hit you with it.
Yes.
there's a new
house being built.
Whatever happened to Shane? Well, he moved away. he was blind in that one eye.
God, we were having a dirt bomb fight in one of the many new homes going up in the area, and it was like still plywood on the outside. And I got home one day, and it was like a Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon, and my dad's like waiting for me, and I'm like, "What's going on?" Got a call. Oh yeah. I hear you were having a dirt bomb fight. Well, yes.
Why do you think that? Well, the dirt's all over your
And it's on a
coat.
New house?
Yeah.
Yes. I think we're going to take care of that.
Yeah.
Here's the broom. I'm walking you over there.
There you go.
We walked around the block, and he had me sweeping off
the
dirt bombs from the side of the house.
Yep.
That was the plywood, so I hadn't got the thing. And you know what? After that, I never did dirt bomb fights at new houses.
Well,
whenever I
quits being fun when you have to clean it up.
Oh, every time I got caught
in houses.
That's right.
I got caught doing a lot of mischievous things, but I did learn. Every time I got caught, I stopped doing them.
Learn to get better at not getting caught.
No, I just quit doing them because I was like, you know, this really isn't right for what I'm doing here. I just needed a wake-up call. And again, I talked with
Ladies
another friend at my 40th
Welcome to Horsepower reunion. Chrome and Rust, where we actually talk about cars at some point or another in the show. We're on a little bit of a tangent now, but that's okay because...
Oh yeah. We
okay. Well, these are
no,
these
no.
Are,
I love this.
These are stories that instead of the
childhood.
Old car nut book,
somehow,
this is real life stories.
This is
of
just
Shane,
the, this is just the old nut
Steve.
Book.
This is the old nut book. God,
exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm serious. It is amazing that some of us survived our childhoods.
Oh God,
you know,
yes.
Yeah, so then we got to real cars.
Well, yeah.
And then
yeah.
You drove them like you were still driving go-karts.
Okay, speaking of real cars, here's a question. Here's a question for both of you.
Yes.
This is a serious real car question. Okay. This is it. What was your first, and short, what was your first clutch experience, I mean a real like dangerous experience with a real car? I'll tell you mine very, very quickly. Friend of mine, guy lived two houses away. He was older than we by about five, 6 years. So he was old enough to drive. And he had managed to scrape together enough money to get a 37 Chevy sedan. And it was a junker. We would call it a rat rod today, but it was a junker back
yes.
then. It barely ran. And he was going to fix it. So he was in there working on the motor and doing the carburetor and whatever it was he was doing. And we were standing around there, you know, geeky, you know, runny-nosed kids watching him. And he was trying to set the idle. And so he had a broom handle ready, and he stuck the broom handle between the front seat and the gas pedal and wedged it so that it was exactly at the right, you know, RPM that he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the car was in the garage, and it was up on a block of wood. It wasn't really on jacks. Nobody had jack stands.
No.
We had a stump. And so he had it up on the back axle was up on wood so he could run it. He had to have it in gear, see, in order to do this. Don't ask me why. Shane's looking at me like, are you insane? No, this is true.
I know where this is going.
Oh, you know. So he's up in front, and he's dinking around with the carburetor, and this thing is running to probably $3,000, maybe, you know, plus or minus, and we're all standing there watching. And, of course, the broom handle shifts, the gas pedal gets floored, the car starts to buck, it falls off the stump and drives itself through the back wall of the garage. With him hanging onto the hood.
Oh.
We're like, geez, Bill Stubbins just drove through the back of his garage. Should we go get somebody? No, it's kind of fun to watch him scream.
We'll get him to see these tops.
Yeah.
See how far this goes.
I mean, we didn't mess with cars for like a year after that. I was probably 11.
Right.
You know? And poor Bill. He walked funny after that for a long time. But true story.
Oh, my gosh.
So what? Go ahead. What? You got one? I got another one involving a 56 Ford Victoria.
Well,
and the transmission falling on my cousin's head.
My very first accident in my car.
Shane's going, I've been there.
I hate that feeling.
My very first accident was, it was related to go. It has something to do with go-karts. My buddies and I,
of course,
Ron and Dave, and I were out at Birch Bay. And we said, hey, we've seen this go-kart place. Well, let's stop. So
sure. Oh,
we stop.
Yeah, yeah.
And we get in that we pay our money, go in, we race around these go karts. Oh, this is so fun. This is so cool.
All right.
Get into my car afterwards, and we're hanging down at Hannigan, and I'm thinking I'm still in that go kart, and we're like, hey, there's Olson. Let's take a right. Sure. And I swung it to the right. Didn't even put on my freaking brakes. Slid, hit this little bit of gravel in the center of the corner, and just. Started slowing down and then just piled the front end into the telephone pole.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was my first incident of many uh-huh. wrecking that car.
Body parts are expensive, aren't
and
they?
And my dad got it fixed.
Ah.
But consequently, I kept driving that car and I would just kind of be looking left and turning right and running into things. I got really good with pounding out dents and body filler and primer.
Hoping nobody would notice.
And ultimately, everybody noticed my car. It was multiple colors because of all the different primers on it.
That's six different kinds of primers.
Yes.
Yeah. Nice.
But I got really good with working with body putty and dent pullers because and then I ended up buying that car of all cars because I really deep down felt guilty about all the damage I did. And I said, for $1,200, I better buy it from my dad because I've ruined this.
Oh,
and I did.
That wasn't the car Shane had up in the shop a couple of months ago, was it? With the one with the 2 inches of body putty that was pulling.
That was ridiculous. No, but I do remember my dad. I was 16 years old.
Yeah?
And he came home from work with this 78 Firebird.
All right. Not a bad car.
Fell in love with it, teenager. You know, it's like, I want this car. My dad's like, no.
You thought you were Burt Reynolds.
Yeah. My dad's like, no, I'm going to sell it. We're going to flip it. And he decided to let my sister drive it on the way to school the next morning. So she gets down to the first stop sign.
78 Firebird.
Yeah, 75 right.
Got it.
Gets down to the first stoplight, and then makes it through that one, gets to the next stop sign. My dad's like, all right, give it a little gas. She panics because it's a main highway. Cross the street, through the bushes, and up into right into a tree. My dad comes home and goes, yeah, you can have this car.
Yeah, I think that one's yours now.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, we're still doing the greatest automotive info show in the known world. We'll be back with more Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Listen, as a hiring manager, I've got to tell you, the best job candidate isn't always the typical candidate. Sometimes they're a grad of life.
Meet the grads of life. Young adults of unique determination and experience, an ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Sometimes the best candidates aren't the ones you're used to.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent.
Hey, car enthusiast, are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E-Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E-Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest-growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame-off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand-done metalwork, motor work, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
When it comes to saving money, don't act like a baby.
Goo goo gaga.
Be the boss and make a budget.
I'm the boss, baby.
You're the boss of me.
I am the boss of you.
Are not.
M2.
Are not.
M2.
Need a little help?
Aren't you going to do any work?
I'm very busy delegating.
Create a personalized savings plan.
We can share.
You obviously didn't go to business school.
And get other tools and tips at feedthepig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs.
This is Elton Roundhill and Shane Osborne with E-Company Customs in Linwood, Washington. You're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
This is Cody with Bow Wow Air Cooled. You're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
This is Robert with Bonbrenner Motorsport. You're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Welcome back to the fourth segment of the show, and Shane, is this your turn?
I don't know.
That's all right. Who cares?
Who cares?
We have the third segment.
We're making this up as we go.
Yeah. Well, we're at the old Car Nut Books time.
Oh, and, yeah. I got a good one this time. This is cool.
That's where we're at. Okay.
We talked Corvairs.
We talked through the third segment.
Yes, we did. We talked about Corvairs a little while ago, about how good they were in the snow.
Right.
So check this out. This is one from Larry Carnes. The story is called Hoarding Corvairs. All right? So... this guy's father was a collector, well, sort of a collector. In today's world, he'd actually be called a hoarder. He was also high-strung, compulsive, creative, generous, and many other neat things. Most of all, he was a great dad, and he loved to buy and sell old cars, and found out, as a young father trying to make ends meet, that you could buy a car cheap and sell it for more money, and he really loved playing with the old cars. Sometimes he wouldn't sell them, and so the cars started to kind of multiply around the house.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah. We lost my mother when I was 21, but she was around during most of the car adventures with my dad, and when she passed away suddenly and unexpectedly, he sort of lost interest in cars and sold all of them except for a brief foray into Lincoln Continental Mark III's. He remarried a year later, and after meeting a wonderful woman who I believe my birth mother would have approved of, we found out later in life he'd been diagnosed with OCD, and among all of the other things that he could be called, he was a hoarder. But he was not the kind of hoarder you might see on TV with the stacks of newspapers and garbage and stuff. He was fairly neat and organized, but he was voracious in his collecting of things, and a big part of his compulsion had nothing to do with having things. It was all about the art of the deal. He liked to negotiate, and he had something that, you know, wasn't about profit, just to make the deal. So one of the things that Dad would obsess about was collecting tools and yard equipment. I mean, who has 30 lawnmowers? Who has piles of chainsaws? Well, Dad did. He also collected clocks, and his obsession didn't end there. He also liked to collect cars. He'd spend hours at garage sales and possibly buy a car on the way to check out a list of garage sales or possibly buy another car on the way home. So an obsession with Corvairs began one day when my sister's boyfriend pulled up to the house in one of them. It immediately caught Dad's eye, and I guess he just couldn't shake the idea that somehow he needed to have one or two or 10. It started out with the understanding that I'd need something to drive to school, and by getting a car that we could work on together, it could be something for us to focus on and bring us closer to each other. It was a great idea, so we went and found the first Corvair. Then he found another, and another, and another. His compulsion and obsession grew into a collection so large that people often thought there was a Corvair convention going on in our driveway.
Wow.
More than once, strangers would come to the door and ask if this was the house where the party was being held. The answer was always the same, no, those are just Dad's cars. Since we lived in a suburban neighborhood, my father couldn't keep his entire collection of Corvairs at our house, so he did what he could, which was to store his excess cars at my grandparents' house and their respective barns on their farms. The farms were no longer active farms. There were several barns around with huge stalls, so this seemed like a good idea. Obsessive with caring for the cars as well, he purchased heavy car tarps designed for Corvairs, and he'd cover them while they sat. And he would make sure the tanks were full and had gas stabilizer in them. And, you know, he would put mice traps in the cars to take care of any rodents. And it wasn't perfect, but it was, you know, the best option that he had. So once a month, the family would make a trip to visit the grandparents, and we'd arrive at my mother's parents' house, and after my dad exchanged pleasantries, it was time for him and me to go get to work. We'd go to each car carrying the proper-sized battery and fire them off one at a time. I'd then back one out, and we would check all the tires and fluids and then ease the car out of the driveway, and I'd go down the road at a leisurely pace until the engine was warmed up. And then I'd take my hands off the wheel and slam on the brakes to see if the wheel jerked. Suggesting that maybe a stuck brake drum or something else. Then I'd back up and slam the brakes again for good measure. On completing these visual and physical tests, I'd pull over to a quiet spot in the nearby church parking lot and just listen to the motor. It was so quiet in the country that I could easily hear any strange noises coming from the engine that might warrant some attention. I'd also get out and look under the car for strange leaks like brake fluid or oil or transmission stuff. And having completed all those, then I'd get in the car and buckle up for the real fun. I'd turn down the car down a curvy road and proceed to drive at a decent clip, attacking each turn as if I was a rally race driver accelerating at a high speed or as much as the six-cylinder air-cooled engine could give me, and shift as fast as I could. Now, since the Corvair had four-wheel independent suspension, this was actually kind of fun. They handled pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
I would then head back, in spite of what Ralph Nader said, I would then head back for the next car and do the whole thing again until basically they were all done at my first set of grandparents. Then we go to the next set and do it all over again. So one day we were finishing up a set of cars at my dad's family home, and we're at the last car, and my dad suddenly opened the passenger door and said, "I want to go with you." Well, this surprised me, as he generally preferred to hang around the house and the barn, and I was glad to have a chance to share his company, so I pulled out. I went through my normal routine, except for the rally racing. And as we were getting close to my grandmother's driveway, I gave the little car a little bit more gas, and my father immediately said, "Slow down." I replied, "I got it, no worries." And I pushed in the clutch with my left foot, pressed the brake pedal with my right foot, and the brake pedal shot to the floor. No brakes.
Ooh.
I immediately slammed the car into third gear while popping the clutch and yanking the wheel to the right, gave the car more gas. We slid into the gravel driveway sideways while my dad yelled something unintelligible, but I'm sure he learned it in the Navy. I quickly turned the wheel to the left while slamming the car into second gear to straighten it out, and we slid up to the front of the barn as I yanked the emergency brake handle into the dash and turned the car off. I was very proud that I hadn't wrecked the car. Richard Petty would have been proud. As I basked in the glory of Petty's praise going through my mind, I turned to my dad, who yelled, "Give me your license." I stammered, but Dad, the brakes were out. He reached over and he pressed the brake pedal with his foot, and the brake pedal held. I slid out of the driver's seat. I handed him the license from my wallet. He snatched it away from me and placed it in his shirt pocket while sliding himself into the driver's seat. He looked at me and yelled, "You'll never drive any of my cars again," through the window, and he cranked the car up and popped the clutch and pulled out into the barn and then drove right straight through the rear barn wall. He turned the car off, stepped out, while looking at the front end protruding through the back end of the barn. Wasn't damaged too badly. I stood in the driveway, doing my best to stifle my giggles and blood trickling down my chin as I bit my lip. He walked back and he stood beside me, handed me back my license, and said quietly, "The brakes don't work. We might want to look at that," and walked off to his mother's house. Now, I don't obsess about cars, but I still really enjoy them. Funny thing, though, every time I see a Corvair, I think of my dad.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
You know, wasn't Corvair GM's reply to the Porsche and the Volkswagen? What was their little... Carmen Ghia?
Yeah, well, it was meant to be a sporty car that competed in the rear engine class, And
with that independent suspension and the whole bit.
Yeah, in spite of the fact that Nader did that whole unsafe at any speed thing, the Corvair is handled really well. The 66 yeah. Monza Spider was a really well thought of car.
The only problem was that belt.
Yeah, yeah. But
have you ever seen the belt on one of those?
No. Yeah.
They run up the motor, then change directions.
Yeah. They're very strange.
They have a pulleys on that actually roll the belt sideways.
Okay.
So it's shaped like an L.
Yeah.
Wow.
For the fans are on top of the motor.
If you didn't know what you're looking at, when you open the
very bizarre.
Yeah, when you open the trunk, the hood, and looked at it, if you didn't know what it was, you'd go, what the heck is that? Why is it doing that? And it was a plan. It was just weird looking.
Well, I had a friend that had one. I never had him open it up for me to look at, though.
Yeah.
So
it's an interesting vehicle.
They actually were. Well. They were great handling cars. Independent suspension, and if you got them with a 4-speed, they were pretty sprightly. You know, for the class.
Oh yeah.
Well, they're a cool looking little rig. I mean, for the time period.
The first year wasn't my favorite.
No,
it was kind of a Nash, you know, Metropolitan looking thing.
Yeah.
But the later years, the 66 was especially nice. The Monza Spider was the one. That was if you were going to get
they
one,
got,
that was
they
it.
They got proportions right and the lines right.
Yeah.
They almost kind of started looking like a Camaro front end. The
sort of.
Yeah.
The shape
they have
there.
They definitely have a GM look to them.
Yep.
I mean, the Buicks are kind of have that same look to them in that era.
Was it the Skylark? What was
the
small
Skylark.
One? Yeah, that was it.
I have every time somebody walks in the shop, it's like, oh, the Corvair. I was like, that's not a Corvair.
That's
a Buick special.
Yeah. Yeah, they were really nice little cars. And then, you know, once Nader's campaign caught on, I think, would they make them 4 years?
Yeah,
four years. 4 year, 5? I mean, if you count the half year.
Quite a cult following.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. I mean, they're nice little cars.
Well,
and they were comfortable inside.
Yeah,
they're more room than you think.
Yeah.
Well, and it's kind of like a poor man's sports car is really what it was.
Yeah, they were decently priced. I think they were the 66, I think, was like $2,200.
Yeah,
with all the gear on it and everything, which was just about what you could get a Roadrunner for. 26, 28.
Yep.
So
Camaro,
yeah,
kind of all in that same.
Real nice. Yep. Hey, Christmas is coming, by the way, and you know, you can pick up the old car nut book on Amazon. So don't forget about that one. We got the weekly trivia question coming, and I hit it next week's show. So put it in park. Stick around. We will be back. That is a threat.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, how would you like to have a chance to win a fully restored four-on-the-floor red 1965 Mustang? Well, you can. Linwood Rotary is raffling off this fully restored 65 Mustang at a car show near you. Chance to win this car is just $10 per raffle ticket. For more information and to find out where the car will be displayed, visit rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. Proceeds will go into funding local charities.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Hang on till right after these messages.
1 in 7 Americans will struggle with addiction during their lifetime. Want to know how you can help? Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to help turn addiction around. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
I'm jumping in with my clothes on!
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
Help us if you can. You're an El Camino. El Camino man. Only you can understand. Help us if you can.
He's an El Camino man.
Oh, El Camino.
do my Bob Dylan on that one.
Oh.
It is Help Us If You Can. It's the fifth and final
Everybody
segment.
Everybody must get El Camino'd. Del yeah, Rey.
That's right. Ooh, Del Rey. Man, not everybody knows. So this is the Around the Wheel section where we do all kinds of cool stuff about what's coming up locally and things. The Northwest Toy Run is actually happening next weekend, December 2nd.
Yes, it is.
It's a big deal. So if you have not yet gotten involved and you are in the Pacific Northwest, please check that one out. It's got a Facebook page of its very own. Our trivia question last week was a very cool one. It was asked, what was the first car with a radio antenna embedded in the windshield? And lots of cars had antennas. Of course, you know, they used to have them stuck on the roof or yeah. the back or whatever else.
Right.
The first time that actually they put it in... 70, what'd you say?
72 Camaro?
72 Camaro. No, it wasn't. It wasn't even... Well, it was a GM. It wasn't a Chevy. It was the 69 Pontiac Grand Prix.
Oh.
That was the one. And, you know, looking at it, it's the second yellow one on there, you can see.
Yes, yes.
I'm
right,
holding this up.
Right.
If you look deeply into your radio speaker, yes. you'll see...
but
yeah, it's and it, that was the one that had it came up from the hood,
yeah, right down the middle,
split and out the big T, you know,
T,
which yeah, and
which became pretty traditional in a lot of GMs. Lot of,
yeah,
over,
they ended
through
up
through
doing
the 80s.
It. Yeah, so that was it, and we actually had a winner, and I love this guy's name. I want this guy's name. His name is Lincoln Aceveda.
Oh, wow.
Lincoln awesome. Aceveda, dude. And he emailed, he said, yeah, because he had one, apparently. So he's like, dude, of course you have one. Why wouldn't
awesome.
You?
Excellent.
Yeah, so, no so cool. So he knew. His wasn't yellow, but he said, yeah, it was kind of cool. He didn't buy it because of that. He bought it used. But, you know, I was like, oh, that was 69. That was a way back.
Wow.
Sure enough.
Yeah.
So congratulations to Link. You are going to get yourself a can of... Horsepower Chrome and Rust Barn Find
yes.
Dust. Yes, we'll be yes. making sure that you sprinkle that on that... on that Grand Prix, and it'll be worth four times as much easily.
He probably wishes he still has it.
Yeah, he doesn't have it anymore. I asked him. I said, no,
right.
It's in the dust of history.
That's right.
But this week's question is a classic. This is a good one. So we were talking about this earlier, valve lifters.
Yes.
You know, why do you lose compression? Well, it could be all kinds of things. So valve lifters are a critical part of the motor. They make the valves work. But there was a car that was actually the first successful series production hydraulic valve lifters. They were mechanical before that, you know.
Yes.
But they made hydraulics, and it isn't what you think. What was the first one? You can do the year. You can do the model. You can do the motor type if you want to. And it was a pretty high-end deal. This was a big deal when they first came out with it.
We're talking, when was the first year of the first hydraulic
What was the first
lifters?
Car with production hydraulic lifters?
Wow.
First car.
Okay.
And production. Now, you could order them, that you could get them, you know, custom, but
okay.
not very many people did because it was kind of weird technology when
right.
it first came out. So if you know that one, you can get us on Facebook at Horsepower Chrome and Rust. You can email us at contactus@horsepowerchromeandrust.com. You can set up a smoke signal. You can hang around Shane's shop and, you know, give him the name of a good metal fab tech that you know, and we'll give you a can of barn fine dust anyway. And if you want to see what the barn fine dust looks like, please go to our Facebook page and search through the pictures. We have an excellent picture of Shane standing there in his best used car salesman pose,
yes.
holding the can of barn fine
and
dust.
And speaking of which, I just uploaded a cool little documentary about a car model maker, and he just did wonderful things.
Like
he
model
just
cars?
Passed away. He took little model cars and made little townships and then shot them outside so it looked like, when
oh,
you
like
look
big,
at them.
Like dioramas.
Yes.
Okay,
oh,
cool.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just amazing, amazing work this
nice.
Guy did. And it's just like, I'm going to try to do something like this with some of my Hot Wheels.
That would be cool.
So, folks, if you got a Hot Wheels, please start taking pictures and upload them to our Facebook page.
Absolutely.
We want to start seeing them.
Yeah, that'd be fun. All right. Well, hey, that music is our cue to hit the gas. Until next week. It's been fun yakking about all the stuff that we did as children. Thanks for liking and following our website, our Facebook page. For Shane Osborne and Steve Johann, I am Brady Wright, saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, and your foot to the floor. Slide on by next week for another edition of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
See you later.